This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us together feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us all. I shall now deal with your documentary lesson, number 5, Peace Be Unto You. Now, my beloved, so far in your study, you have been introduced in your lesson number 1 to a good deal of instructional reading and also to your foreword, which I hope you have thoroughly memorized. If not, do so at once. You were also given the mental physics mild cleansing regime, which you should follow as reasonably as you can, and be patient with yourself. Now, it is also to be hoped that you are gaining benefit from your meditations. You are counseled to persevere with your meditational work, for that is of the very greatest importance to you at this stage of your study. I am assuming that your breathings are being regularly undertaken every morning. It doubtless is obvious to you that this procedure must be very rigidly adhered to. You should spend at least a half an hour in breathing, and each week you will be able to see that you are becoming the master of all your breathings. That is the first part of entering the gate. You were shown the amazing power of your spiritual imagination and how, properly trained, your imagination will do for you whatever you desire it to do. And you were then also given a workable knowledge of the difference between the functions of your reason and your imagination. Then you remember, in lesson number 3, the second part of entering the gate, you were inspired, I trust, as you contemplated the examples of extreme old age, and you were given your really first exercise for correct visualization, being also introduced to our mental physics 9 positives. And then, in your lesson number 4, the first part of your great Holy of Holies, I hope that you were lifted to the heights in what you studied. You remember that last sentence in that wonderful lesson. Because of this, I stand to the universe as a center stands to the circle. In this case, I am the center. The circumference is everywhere. Without a center, no circumference can exist. Now, my beloved, you have in mind, I trust, the principal points of your last lesson, so that in your mind you will be able to turn back to your lesson number 4. You remember we dealt with you and the universe in a series of questions, and I trust that this has been fully comprehended by you. If so, let us then proceed together. Now, going back over what you have already read and learned, we see that the Creator is first all the knowledge there is, omniscience. Second, all the presence there is, omnipresence. Third, all the power, force there is, omnipotence. As nothing can exist outside of the all, we arrive quite logically, do we not, at the wonderful truth that the Creator is all that there is. Now carry the idea one step further, remembering what you have learned, and you now can truthfully affirm, can you not, since the Creator is all that there is, since I am the center and the circumference of my universe is everywhere, I am the Creator, differentiated into the human form. Now let us see again. since the Creator is all that there is, since I am the center and the circumference is everywhere, I am the Creator. How? Well, I am the Creator of my own universe, differentiated into the human form. I am the Creator in human form. Well then, carry the idea one more step, and we arrived at the most stupendous truth that can ever be known, since all human knowing is in some way derived from it. You can now truthfully affirm, therefore, whatever the Creator is, I am. Now, my beloved, let us be very reverent about this. Let us read it carefully and in deep silence. Let this grand truth live with you. Act the part. Do not be proud. By pride angels fell. Be grateful. Give thanks. Praise the wondrous spirit within you for this amazing revelation. Now, let us give our thought, a moment or two, to the substance of thought, the chemistry of life. Now, there are many ways through which this great truth will come into your mind, but it is best for you to think about it personally and then figure it all out in the way that is natural and best for you to do so. This is the greatest truth that you can ever learn. Now, according to your power to think, will the information contained in this and your last lesson in your Holy of Holies appeal to you? If you have little force of thought, little power to think, little inclination to do so, the beautiful truths will probably pass you by. But if you are intuitive enough to sense the very presence of God in these lessons, your own thought will lead you triumphantly on and on. Now you see, all that we are doing is to find out what life is, what the origin of life is, what the continuation of life is, what it is that causes it all. Now, we may think in this way. I can see that there is one organizing center of life, and all comes from it. Everything in the three kingdoms, mineral, vegetable, animal. It is easy to see that every living thing lives by its breath. I do, you do. You can see that your breath is your life. If we understand our breath, then, we shall understand ourselves. Now, you can also see that the atmosphere in which we all live and move and have our being is chemical activity or chemical substance. You can see that every part of this substance contains within itself some degree of intelligence. You can see, moreover, bearing in mind what you have learned last week and this week, that that intelligence is what the world calls God. This chemical substance is indestructible. Now, reason like this. The air, you will call it prana, and you now have your idea of prana, is invisible, cannot be touched, seen, handled, tasted. Yet it is the one substance which every living thing in the universe is dependent upon. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. He, God, that in which we live and move and have our being, is chemical substance. Therefore, you are a chemical thing. Your activity is chemistry in action. God is love, you say. Yes, love, the greatest thing in the world. Just as everything is bound together indissolubly with breath, which is life, so then is every living thing bound together with love. For God, all that there is love. Love, then, is the chemical substance upon which every living thing is dependent for life itself. Love is life. Love is intelligence also. You can see that, and should never descend lower than its highest ideals. If so, it annihilates itself. It annihilates itself. So one could go on reading, writing like this, taking every substance he cares to think about and trace it to one common source. Thought is invisible. That is clear to all of us. Thought is invisible, intangible. It cannot be seen or touched, tasted or handled. But thought is chemical in its nature. For the influence of a thought produces an effect which corresponds exactly to the chemical nature of the thought itself. Let me say that again, if I can. Thought is invisible, intangible, cannot be seen or touched, tasted or handled. But thought is chemical in its nature. For the influence of a thought produces an effect which corresponds exactly to the chemical nature of the thought itself. God, the Creator, love, life, thought, all is chemical substance. Now there is but one substance. Every different separate part of it, in all its endless manifestations and embodiments, visible and invisible, comes from it. And whether it be the foods and the water we eat and drink, the thoughts that we think, all organic and inorganic substances, that which the scientist calls electrons or matter, there is but one substance, out of which everything is created, and from which everything sustains its life. So therefore, my beloved, for our purposes of reasoning, we can see that thought is chemistry. All that we can know will be made known to us through the chemistry of thought. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.